the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
Stablecoin adoption is exploding from nothing 6 years ago to $250 billion today. The growth is so extraordinary that it prompted the International Monetary Fund to warn that stablecoins and other financial innovations are reshaping the global economy in ways that policymakers can no longer ignore. It's an admission, I guess, that they've been caught sleeping. Stablecoins are digital currencies pegged to assets such as the US dollar and the rand. They were originally conceived as a way to park profits made from crypto trading. Then some more interesting use cases developed. People in developing countries realized they could convert their unwanted local currencies into something a little more stable, like Tether, which is pegged one-to-one to the US dollar. And now there are a few more Rand stablecoins around, the latest being issued by Mesh Trade, and it's called YZAR. The good news is that you can earn yield on this and instantly convert that into a range of other digital assets on the Mesh platform. We're joined now by Connie Bloom, CEO of Mesh Trade, to find out more. Welcome again, Connie. There's a lot happening in the stablecoin space. Maybe bring us up to speed.
Hi, Kieran. It's lovely to join you again. The stablecoin space has been exploding. We've been prophesizing about this moment for years, and I think a lot of people in the kind of formal markets have maybe laughed at us coming out of the crypto space, saying, no, you'll never see mass adoption. But the rate of adoption has just been increasing in astonishing amounts over the last couple of months. And this is not just because Mesh is putting out the yield bearings are, as you mentioned, or the YZAR, but I think it was very much led and prompted by the US bringing in the Genius Act. And for your listeners, the Genius Act, quite simply, is a set of regulation that creates clarity for people in the crypto markets or in the stablecoin market specifically around the regulatory space of stablecoins. And this has just given us the space to really push these use cases into the market and give more of our clients the utility that they're actually asking for in this digital economy.
Yeah, you've mentioned regulations. I wanted to touch on that because the International Monetary Fund seems to be getting a little bit concerned. I think the banks are starting to pay a lot of attention to this space. The Genius Act, I think, in broad terms, basically outlines how, if you're an issuer of one of these stable coins, how you must collateralize that. How do you back that up? And they outline certain instruments which are acceptable. Maybe you can go into that. What's the regulatory landscape at the moment?
The regulatory landscape, and I'm going to sound very weird when I say it, is quite interesting at this stage. Who could ever call a regulatory landscape interesting? And one of the things that make it interesting is that there's so much movement going on, but also yet so little. So the American government or the American regulator has gone and taken the approach of saying that they truly believe in the crypto market, they truly believe in the blockchain-based markets, and they've gone and they've created regulatory constructs within the Genius Act and soon to come Clarity Act. I love the names the Americans come up with because it just describes like what is in the box to get more people to kind of move into this part of the industry with a lot of freedom. So as you mentioned, the Genius Act is there for the stable coins and what they can be backed in. But what is very interesting with that America did is they decided that these stable coins can be backed by US treasuries or US dollar. And that's obviously also an approach of the American market to decrease their debt and also get a lot more dominance in their dollar-based currency. Now, what I don't agree with within those acts is that you can't actually have interest being paid or yield being paid on these stablecoins. And the biggest question that I ask then in that construct is who gets the interest and who gets the yield actually from what these assets are backed? Because if you back your stablecoin with dollar treasuries, there's still a coupon being paid. Who gets the benefit of that coupon? Because it's obviously not the people buying and holding that stablecoin. But I'm pretty sure that's why they're bringing in the Clarity Act. And the Clarity Act is there to regulate what we call the broad scope digital asset space or the security space. So these are most commonly known as your financial assets that are tokenized. So in South Africa, we haven't actually taken this approach in the market. So I must say that I expect our regulator to take a lot more proactive view in this market instead of a wait and see. Because there's a lot of people in this market, and especially when it comes to our professional and institutional investors who really want to enter into this space and really want to bring in that capital flow that we're all looking for, but they're being prohibited by things like such as Board Notice 90 and Reg 28 to do so. Because in our regulatory construct, they didn't create clarity, thank you, America, for the name, around is this now security? Is it not a security? So they just blanketly said, in our pension funds and our CISCA funds, you cannot actually hold crypto assets. Now, why is this important for normal crypto assets traders, normal people holding stablecoins, normal people investing into tokens, is that we're all looking for a more liquid market. We're actually looking for a bigger market. So if our regulator actually creates space here for us, that would be beneficial to the market as a whole. So we encourage the regulator, we encourage all the parties in the market currently to like enter into these kind of conversations, but that doesn't mean that we are currently acting within a regulatory gray space. There is regulations, there are regulatory constructs. South Africa is a extremely well-regulated market. I think there is a misnomer in the market in general that we don't have a well-regulated market. We have extremely well-regulated markets. South African regulatory construct is actually a construct that a lot of other countries base their regulations on as well. So we also need to give them that benefit. But kind of the approach that we as Mesh has gone into is we see the regulatory construct in which we can work. But because we come from the formal markets, we understand which principles we need to adhere to really make this secure, but also extremely exciting for our holders and investors to participate in.
Yeah, interesting subject this is. Who gets the benefit of the collateral, the underlying assets when you're buying a stable coin? Tether, turns out, is per employee the most profitable company in the world. And I think last year they made $13 billion. So basically, what they're doing is every time you buy a US dollar Tether stable coin, they're buying US treasuries, they're buying some Bitcoin as well. But the yield that they earn on those treasuries goes to the company and does not go to the stablecoin holders. And that has triggered a lot of debate in the markets. Hang on, we'd also like a piece of that. So maybe talk about why Czar, your Rand stablecoin, why you decided to launch this. It is yield-bearing, and explain how that yield is earned.
So the point that you're bringing up is kind of the big problem statement in the market. And we also have a transactional stablecoin called MZAR, but that is just a normal stablecoin that flows and transacts. But many of our clients come to us with the problem statement of like, what do they do with lazy cash? Just a balance lying in their account, not doing anything for you. And so the most of us, we go to our banks and we put it into a savings account. But savings accounts aren't very profitable, I would say. So we've come into the market with our yield-bearing stablecoin to really resolve this problem, because how our yield-bearing stablecoin works is that it compounds interest or yield daily and it settles it monthly. So even if you only have that cash in your account overnight, you are still going to earn income on it. And that's right, isn't it? That there is work being done on this balance. So let's run through the following example is you can't decide what you want to invest in, or you're waiting for a payment to go off in a week's time, but now that cash is lying there, it's not doing anything. But it's also such a short time that you can't actually lock it into a notice account. You can't put it into a 42-day notice account. You can't actually buy an asset worth it because the term is so short that you're not going to make the fee amount back. And this is where Wizar is the ideal asset because there is no trading fees associated with it. So there's no leaking away of your yield portion. You put it in, it compounds daily, settles monthly to your account. It's overnight liquidity, so you get liquidity within 24 hours. So there's no lockup period as well. And currently, we are paying a 5% yield on that asset. As we grow it, it is going to go towards 7.5, which is very competitive with what you would find in the money market, like funds as well. But remember, this is now a liquid asset. It's a yield asset. You can also purchase things with it. So it has a lot of those benefits coming in. And your second part of your question was, okay, but where does this yield come from? How do we generate it? Well, the yield coin is currently backed by rand deposits in various bank accounts and fixed notice and so forth. So we've gone and we've constructed a portfolio that can actually provide that yield. But as we now start expanding, we'll also start expanding into other kind of money market assets, treasuries, near-term cash to create a higher and higher yield component for our clients. And you will see that even at 5%, it's the most competitive product that is currently in the market. And if we start getting into the 7.5%, it's just going to knock off the socks against all the other competition, which is the money market funds in that instance.
Right. I think people will be quite interested to hear that they can beat inflation and they don't have these lockup periods that you would normally have with a savings account. So you can pull this out at any time. And even if it's for a week, or 3 days, you can earn something on it. Now, tell us about why. Why did you launch YZAR? Was this sort of you're targeting the South African market? And by the way, on US dollar stablecoins, you can earn, 8-10%. So people say, well, that's a little bit shy of what I can earn on my dollar stable coins. But give us the reasoning there for launching this.
So the big reason was firstly there was a big need from our investor base to have something that's yielding on their rand deposits because it is a rand deposit that they're sitting with. But the second part is also like looking at what the Genius Act is actually forcing the stablecoins to do is to not pay yield. And as a company, as a construct, we don't think that's fair. That's still our clients' balances. It's still their funds. And if there is a way that we can offer them a product where they can share in the benefits of what is actually backed by their stable coins, they should do so. So from a Mesh perspective, we are taking this approach because we actually want to be transparent with our clients. We want them to benefit with us and that we don't just pocket out of their cash balances because that is not fair. So we want to grow our platform in a way that we can also grow the market with us because the bigger the market is, the more liquid the market is, the more we all benefit in that as well. So twofold reasons. There was a very definite investor need, but also secondly, from a transparency perspective from Mesh.
Now, another interesting one that you've done, it's a silverback token. And you might want to just spend a minute talking about mesh trade because your whole business model, I guess, is built around tokenizing real world assets. But the silver token is a new one. Talk about that.
So Mesh is a very interesting business, as you mentioned. So many times when people look at our business, they see our marketplace and they do compare us to your normal crypto asset platforms. But Mesh is actually not a normal crypto asset platform at all. And it is because we also originate assets. So you mentioned the real world asset tokenization, and that's completely within our wheelhouse. So we look at anything that is within the financial markets, whether that's bonds, equities, stable coins, commodities, such as the silver now. We tokenize that, we raise capital on it, and then it trades through our platform. But not only do we do that, because we house the entire infrastructure, you also get the benefits such as your yield payments, your coupon payments, your interest payments coming directly into your account in the digital space. So you as an investor can then reinvest into other assets that you want to form part of your portfolio. So effectively for investors, we are creating a platform that actually fulfills your entire financial asset need. And our focus in the market is very much what you call the private and alternative asset spaces. This is why we have interesting things such as the Morse, which is a bond. We have the commodities that you just mentioned. We have silver, we have gold, we have the yield-bearing stable coins. We also have cryptocurrencies, but then we have a whole host of funds. So that is what we're putting together for our clients in Mesh. But speaking to silver specifically, and this is an incredibly interesting asset because it's also a stable coin, but it's a stable coin backed by 99.9% silver like as a fine silver. And it's one token equals 1 ounce of silver. You can also take physical delivery of the silver, as what you can do with our Troy gold coin as well. But silver is a commodity that's actually incredibly hard to find. So as a normal investor, if you want to go and invest into silver, there's not a lot of options available for you in the formalized market. And any good portfolio, any model portfolio does have an allocation towards commodities. And there is a really big movement towards that. But for me, it's a very unique asset to have, is to have the silver. And we've put it out into the market in collaboration with a very well-known rare metal trader, which is called Silverbits. They also have a company called Goldbit, which has gold bullion. But silver is now one of the first products that we're launching out of this partnership. So it's a very special asset, and it is very akin to your other kind of stable coins, which is now currency backed. But what I think very few people realize with the partnership of Mesh is launching this asset out into the market took us less than 2.5 weeks to do. That is the power of Mesh. Where a lot of other people, when they launch a full stablecoin company, it takes them anything between 6 months and 1.5 years to actually enter into the market. So we've shortened that loop for our issuers incredibly, but also showing towards our investors when there's a desire for an asset and they really want it, we will go source it and we'll do whatever we need to do to get it into their hands as quick as possible.
I guess welcome to the digital finance world. These kind of things are becoming possible where you can launch a product in weeks instead of months. What is the name of your gold product?
It's a Troy Gold coin. It's backed by Kruger Rand.
And is that also convertible into gold? You can switch from digital to gold to physical gold.
Yeah, so Troy Gold will do physical delivery of your Kruger Rands. So the moment that you hold a whole token, you can also request redemption from them.
What about the cost of storage? Are there any costs that you deduct for that and insurance and that type of thing?
It's an amazing question that you ask, because where you have physical products, you will always have a storage cost and an insurance cost associated with it. And currently in the market, this is a very big point, because not a lot of gold and silver traders are very transparent with it. So you would buy it at market price, and a month later you would get a bill for your insurance and your storage costs, which you didn't calculate into the cost of your investment. And because there's not that much transparency in the market, we've taken the following approach. So generally, when we put an asset out into the market, we've already put into the purchase price your storage cost and your insurance cost as well. So there can be physical vaulting of that underlying asset. So when you buy this asset, it's already included in the price of the asset that you're purchasing. And the same thing as when you're selling it, you then just kind of pay for, let's say you held it for a month, that month worth of vaulting cost that was charged towards you. We're very transparent about this, and this is also a much better model to work with in the market. And because of how Mesh is set up, we're the only place in the market that you can actually do that. So our clients can rest assured that their vaulting fees and their insurance fees are already included in the cost, and they don't need to do mathematics when they're trying to purchase their own assets.
Very interesting. People love gold, but I think the hazards of actually storing it yourself put a lot of people off. Now you can do that digitally.
I hear your mattress is a lovely place to store that as well, actually.
What about X stocks? Are you offering those as well? By the way, X stocks being a tokenized stocks like Tesla and Apple.
So we do have versions of it. We're not partnered with the company that's currently offering X stocks, but what we do have is we have around 16 ETFs and ETNs that's already available in the market. We have three AMCs. So our clients can also get exposure to ETFs and ETNs that are trading, that has exposure to all the US stocks. We're also starting to list now $15 denominated assets as well that you can generally only get in America. So these are also coming up in the next month. We're also listing a very well-known money market fund by one of the biggest asset managers within the market. So we're going to continue packing these assets into our space. We'll definitely start looking at providing a full scope of the international assets as well with some of the South African assets. But really our place in the market is the private credit space. So within Mesh, you will find interesting things such as a VC fund. You will find stocks such as your favorite coffee place around the corner that we're also listing quite soon. So everything that you don't generally find in the market, but you do have like a chat with your friends around the braai. We all know where we drink coffee these days. And we would all also like to invest in their business model.
Very interesting. It seems like hardly a week goes by that you're not doing something new. So good luck to you, Connie Bloom. We're going to leave it there. And mesh.trade, right? If anybody wants to dig you out, wants to find you online.
Yes, you can find it at mesh.trade, or you can log into our app at app.mesh.trade.
Thanks very much, Connie.
Thank you, Kim.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.